Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
This thing on? Here we go. That's right, another week. Another opportunity to talk shop. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. You are now talking with TD. Packed show today, folks. Packed. We have three guests coming on. Dalen Hayes, Notre Dame edge defender. We have, who else we have? Jacoby Stevens, LSU.
What?
Playmaker. We have Robert Jones, MTSU, right? A local flavor to this show. And then we have Chris Sanders. Chris Sanders, a.k.a. Robert Parrish, a.k.a. Antoine Carr, a.k.a. Kevin Willis. Let me get all my shots out. It's coming on, and we're going to have him in the intro. You hear him in the background laughing. That's how I was laughing at this time last week when I heard him tell Jarrett Stillman that he looks like John Candy, and I cannot stop laughing about that. That was hilarious. So here we go. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get that intro music because you know what time it is.
It's this
time
is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Yeah, what are we?
What? They don't know.
That's right. Yes, yes, yes. Run TMC. Chris Sanders, former Titans wide receiver. That was a nice post you put on Instagram, man, when you went up and snatched the ball out the air. I said,
man,
okay.
Against Dale Carter, man. Dale Carter was a beast.
Hey, listen. Dale Carter used to be my argument every time someone said Deion Sanders was the best corner in the league.
Deion Sanders was good at pressing, but Dale Carter was a better overall corner. I'm not talking about athletic-wise, overall corner.
Exactly.
That dude was good.
Exactly.
And he ended up at the line sometimes.
That was my argument. That was my argument. He was a better all-around corner. This was, you know, after Rod Woodson had that knee, you know, Barry Sanders did what he did.
Oh, I broke him up something proper, though.
Did you really? But you said Dale Carter, he made you feel like you had a magnet in your chest?
Man, he had me hit up a couple of times. So, yeah. Let me tell you, because I remember it was him. What was the other corner's name? He was real big. I can't remember his name. But them joke
on Kansas City?
Yes. Ooh. He was real big, stocky. And they used to play that cover two press. I can't remember his name.
This was after Albert Ross.
Yeah, this was in 1995.
I know, but Albert Ross popped into my mind and I was kind of like me telling myself after him.
Yeah, but
I don't remember who the other corner was.
It begins with an H. But man, them dudes were strong, they were physical, they were long, they were smart. But I remember playing against them and what they do is they let you do all that mess at the line, and then what they do is they try to jam you. So what I did against them is, okay, I got to come up with a game plan. What I did is I just went, and then that's when I started to beat them. I ate them up for two touchdowns. Mm. You know I got to throw that in there.
Two touchdowns, not one, two. Not one, two.
Two. Ate him up.
That's what's up. So let's get into this, right?
Yes,
because last year – at this time, we were talking franchise tag for Derrick Henry or Tannehill. Mm-hmm. Said it would probably be Henry. This year, the Titans are able to apply it. I'm not sure if they're going to because you know that's not something that they normally do.
Right.
That being said, do you think that they should use it this year first?
You know, the one person I think they should use it in, I know a lot of people are like, yeah, we can go get another person, is I think they should use it on Corey Davis.
Mm.
And the reason why I think they should do it with Corey Davis is because look at the bright spot of this whole football team. What was the bright spot? It was the offense. It was the running back. It was the receivers. It was Corey Davis. It was A.J. Brown. It was Jonnu Smith. It was all those guys. Why go and let maybe Corey Davis leave the team, just franchise tag him or do something like that and really keep the continuity of this team? I understand everybody say, okay, let's get Jonnu or let's get Jayon Brown. Let's franchise tag them. But I don't think those guys are as important as Corey Davis because Corey Davis complements A.J. Brown. With Jonnu Smith, I understand, dude, great talent, great guy, got a lot of ability. I think he's going to get paid in the free agent-wise. But you can go and get another tight end. You got Firkser, you got Pruitt, you got guys like that that can handle the 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, and do it in that aspect as opposed to a franchise tagging a tight end. That's just my opinion.
I don't know if Firkser can handle that in-line responsibility.
But see, he's a blocker. Look at the last part of our season. I know
he gets in the way. He's not a blocker. He gets in the way. Jonnu Smith is a blocker. But I hear you on the importance of Corey Davis and the importance of retaining everything on offense. And my thing with Corey Davis at that tag, so if you tag him, are you doing it with the intention of hammering out a long-term deal?
Yes.
Because you know what happens if you tag him? That's $16 million for this year.
I mean? I think you tag him just to make sure he stays put.
Okay.
And just to say, okay, he's here. We got him. No, he's not going to free agency. And then come and say, okay, hey big dog, I know we're not going to give you $16 million. Let's figure out a way to where we give you 10 and you try to earn the $16 million up in incentives. Look how that benefits both sides.
I get it.
Both sides. Yeah.
I get it. It makes sense, you know, with the understanding that you're going to work out a longer-term deal.
Right.
That's the only way it makes sense for me.
Exactly.
Now, you look at some of the other guys, right? I think actually what they're going to do is place a transition tag on Jonnu Smith. I think that's what they end up doing. Jonnu Smith will also command interest on the market, as you mentioned.
No doubt.
I think that's the guy that you signed to keep the offense as it is, and you just bank on Corey Davis understanding, you know, more than just money, understanding finally being – because, see, here's the thing with Corey Davis. He was in the wrong situation
for four years,
you know what I mean, 3 years.
Yeah.
He finally settled into the right situation, and you saw what happened. So my thing is – and we talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, do you want to risk signing a deal and going someplace where you think is the right situation and not be? A la Peerless Price, leaving the Bills –
right.
Opposite Eric Moles and going to the Falcons.
Exactly.
And, ooh, they had to draft Roddy White, you know what I mean, to clean up the mess that was made, and then eventually Julio Jones. So I look at that, and that just kind of gives me a little bit of hesitation. But with Jonnu Smith, I think that's the way to go. Jayon Brown actually is more important than I had initially gave him credit to. And before I did my post there, I wasn't really even thinking about it as much. But what really opened my eyes for Jayon Brown was just the way Lavonte David and Devin White were playing in that Super Bowl and that impact that they had. And having match players like that to really hold things down at the second level, that was really important in my opinion.
But is Brown worth that kind of money?
No.
You see, that's where the problem is coming in.
Right.
You can get a bigger size. Because everybody talks about he's undersized. He's undersized. He makes plays. He's fast. He's always around the ball. But you can kind of get somebody like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I'm not downplaying by what he's done because he's done a great job with this organization. But you can get somebody identical or even a little better, a little bigger, a little faster, a little physical. I'm not saying he's not physical. I'm not saying he's none of those things. But I'm saying there's people out there in that position that you can get. Now, when you're talking about, you know, tight ends and wide receivers, when you're building camaraderie with your quarterback and you're gaining the trust of your quarterback, you want to keep that stuff moving. I mean, look at why the Kansas City Chiefs are so successful. Why? It's because they're keeping those guys around. Tyreek Hill, Harmon, you got those other wide receivers. You got the running back. I mean, the running back's changed a little bit, but you're keeping your core guys. You're keeping those core guys in that situation to where they have the chemistry, and you keep it, and you don't mess it up.
Yeah, continuity is key.
Continuity.
I agree with you, and I think that's why – you know, they really need to try to work something out to get both of those guys. But, Jayon, I will say this. I feel that he's very important to that defense.
If it were
up to me to say Jayon Brown or Rashawn Evans, you know, right now I'm going with Jayon Brown.
Oh, I'm going with you.
And I'm drafting K.J. Britt out of Alabama. And now you got there's your downhill thumper. Because I'll give Evans the one thing. When it's time to go downhill and make something happen and trigger – that guy, he really does that. That's what K.J. Britt does. But conversely, you know, the more likely situation, I mean, you're not going to be able to move on from Rashawn Evans right now.
True.
So it is what it is. He's here. I say this. Why not look at a guy if you're going to move on from Jayon? Obviously, you have David Long behind him. Mm-hmm. But why not draft a guy like Jabril Cox out of LSU?
And I think you made a great point. When you have Evans and Brown, the difference between them, I think Evans is a better athlete. But I think that the reason why Jayon Brown is so much better is he's consistent every week.
Yes, yes.
Evans is not consistent every week. And that's where
Absolutely. We
struggle with Evans because we're like, okay, where has this guy been? Oh, we made a play. And then all of a sudden he disappears for 6 weeks. But then you got Brown that's consistent from day one or game one to game 16. And that's what you need. Whoever you draft, whatever you do, if you let him go, You better get somebody in there that's consistent and has the leadership of a Jayon Brown.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you'll have to check out my post I did. It was last week. It went. I text you the link. Okay. I actually compared Brown's production to three other guys that signed, you know, big deals. Corey Littleton, Zach Cunningham, who else? Miles Jack, and there might have been somebody else in there. But if you look at the comp, you're going to see it's his numbers stack right up there with all of those guys. So there's definitely value. I think if they sign him, it's going to have to be a deal where it'll have a high average value. But you know what that is. That's funny money. Yeah. So we'll see how that works, man. And I'm glad you gave me your take there. And one thing that is showing is you're sticking with that Corey Davis thing. I think it is something that they have to absolutely place the priority on. It's just going to be how are they going to do it, and we'll see. So, man.
I think, and I don't want to be honest, but I think Brown, and I'm talking about Jayon Brown, the reason why you definitely want to keep a guy like that and make sure he's a part of your defense is because the one thing we struggled with last year was leadership. You got to get a guy in there because you saw the defense. The defense wasn't that good anyway, but it really dropped off when Jayon Brown got hurt. And I think Jayon Brown should do this. He definitely should sit down and say, you know what? I excelled in this system. Mm-hmm. What if I go to another system and it doesn't pan out? So that's the question he's going to ask. And, you know, we have a question mark.
I hear you. And, you know, one thing before we get out of here.
Sure.
Because you mentioned that. Well, when I talked to him recently, he told me he felt like he could play in any scheme. And he felt like the Titans scheme. But, no, I get what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying. I'm just giving what he said. Yeah. Because it's almost like he doesn't want to sell himself short, you know what I mean?
I agree.
He's naturally going to say that. But he felt the way things happened with the Titans and the scheme, that prepared him to play anywhere else. So
it is.
We'll see what happens, man. But, Chris, I appreciate you.
Always, man.
We'll keep this thing rolling.
You still look like Alex English, though.
Appreciate you. Amazing grace. He's going to pull that. Okay, Xavier McDaniel.
All right, Nolan Richardson.
All right,
goodbye, man.
This is Corey Davis, and you're talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. Here we go. A little Chicago flavor, you know what I'm saying? I always like to make my guests feel at home, you know what I'm saying? And Corey Davis, he's a Chicago guy. You heard Go by Common, you know what I'm saying, a.k.a. The greatest rapper, in my opinion, out of Chicago. So in order to make my next guest, Robert, a.k.a. Big Rob, feel comfortable. Robert Jones from MTSU. What's going on, man?
What's up, boss? How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm just chilling, man. You know what I'm saying? And appreciate you coming on. And definitely was looking forward to talking with you. I watched your game, you know, over the last couple of years, and you've actually stood out. And then seeing you at the Senior Bowl, I was like, yeah, man, I got to have him on. So I guess we could just kind of start from scratch, and let's just go back to your days in Chicago and how you ended up at Highland Community and then to MTSU.
You know, man, I grew up in Chicago. You know, I didn't start playing football until about my junior year of high school. You know, growing up, I thought I was going to be a basketball player. I ended up getting cut when I was a freshman because they said I was too big. So, you know, it killed my you know, athletic dreams until a coach came about. David Hampton, he ended up pulling me to the side and told me, man, you know, you can do this and you can, you know, make a lot of money, take care of your family, move them out this type of environment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just thinking about that and thinking how I came up, I was like, all right, I'll give it a try. So I went out there the first time and liked it. But then I went out there again. I was like, okay, I can do this. And then I ended up, I transferred schools. Then I ended up transferring to Rockford East my senior year in Rockford, Illinois. And that was my first time really playing varsity football. And, you know, I played 8 games varsity football. And my coach there was Gary Griffin. And he ended up giving me some JUCO offers because, you know, I was never thinking about going to college or anything. It was just like, I'm going to just do this and see what happens.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, you know, let's do it. Let's go to JUCO. And I was going to go to Ellsworth in Iowa. And he was like, no, JUCO hard. You need to go somewhere where when you want to give up, you're too far away from home to come back. So I ended up going to Highland Community College in Kansas. And I played 2 years there. When I was in high school, I played D-tackle. When I went there, I asked the head coach, Aaron Arnold, can I go to O-line? He moved me to left guard. And, you know, I was new to the position. I was still new to football. You know, I ended up playing left guard 2 years. My first year, I didn't start playing until I say about the fifth game. We only had 9 games, and I ended up starting the last 4 games. And then after that, my second year, you know, I grinded. I saw the bigger picture, and I started every game that season. And I had a handful of offers, and, you know, it just came down to, you know, who really needed me other than just wanting me to fill up the depth chart. And I figured that, you know, MTSU, the love they were showing me and everything they were talking about, you know, Polly, Stockstill, Coach Franklin, and Coach Mallory, I just felt the love that, you know, they can be home. So I ended up choosing to go to MTSU.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So your coach, the basketball coach, killed your dreams. You could have been the next Robert Traylor or Oliver Miller, you know what I'm saying, a big dog out there in the post. But now you're going to be the next whoever it may be at guard, man. That's an interesting story. Did you, like, watch football at all coming up? I know you watched basketball because that's what you wanted to play. But where was football as far as your viewership growing up?
And honestly, I didn't start watching football until probably my second year in JUCO when I started, you know, really taking it serious and, you know, trying to really, you know, perfect my craft and really learn the game. That's when I finally started watching it. Before that, it was all about basketball.
Really interesting. And then that transition from basketball to football, the physical side of it. And you didn't make a transition, like you didn't play a position where you're not banging all the time. You said D tackle. So obviously there's a lot of contact. How did you deal with that, just getting adjusted to that physicality on the football field?
Man, you know, just me growing up, I was always just physical.
There you go.
And it's like when I was able to go to, you know, play D tackle, it was like I was already physical. And then it's like, all right, now I know I got to be more aggressive because someone's trying to push me back. So when I ended up going to O-line, I was like, all right, I just got to be nasty. You know, I was trying to watch how other people play. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try to do what they're doing, but do it better. And I just knew I was a lot behind a lot of people, just like in knowledge of the game and everything. But, you know, I wanted to get people that, you know, that thought like, okay, he don't know too much about football, but he just as talented as everyone else. So I tried to go out there and just be nasty, aggressive.
Yeah.
And just, you know, use the same mentality I had at D-line. O-line.
Nice. And we're talking to Robert Jones, offensive lineman, because I know you could play tackle and guard, from MTSU. The reason why I ask you that, Robert, is because, or Big Rob, as you like to be called, the reason why I ask you that is because I remember I played ball at Delaware State, then I transferred to Cheney University. And I remember we had a couple of offense or basketball players, right, try to come out for the football team. And I remember coach let them get involved on the offensive side of the ball. One of them was a tight end. And we did Oklahoma-type drills, and after that, he was done. You know what I mean? So a lot of times, that's a way you can tell somebody wants to play football and not clearly you're somebody who wants to play football. So that being said, what do you love most about the game? Like, what is it about football that makes you want to just do it forever?
Man, it's just, you know, being able to beat up somebody, you know, moving, you know, at your own will. And it's like, you know, like, and the part I like about playing offensive line so much is just you can go out there, be nasty, be dirty, and you don't get no recognition for it. You know, you just doing it because you love the game. And you love, you know, protect the man behind you and the person next to you. You like to help them. You know, you want to make sure we all playing at the best of our ability. You don't want to let no one down. You know, that's why I love football so much. Just cause I can be aggressive.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I can just go out there, have fun, and beat up against another man and get no recognition for it.
And no trouble, too. That's important as well.
Sure.
So, I mean, you've played tackle, you've played guard. How did you manage just to get the technique down? Because that's something that's just so overlooked. When you look at offensive linemen, they always say, oh, well, it's just a big, dumb guy that's strong. But it's not the case. You have to be very smart, but you have to be very technically sound. How did you get there?
Really, I just try to focus on all the little things, you know, whatever my coach told me, you know, would tell me at practice, like, what I need to work on. I just try to, you know, focus on that every day. And I used to watch a lot of people film, like, you know, the guard who played for the Cleveland Browns, Willis, who came from Alabama. I used to watch this film when going into my second year. And I was like, he played right tackle. I want to be just as good as him. I know I got the talent. I just need, you know, just grow as a player. And just, you know, I just try to focus on every little thing. If it came, you know, me being balanced in my pass sets, keeping my hands up. And, you know, I try to focus on always staying low and everything.
And what about the footwork? Because I know that's something that's really good. And I think pretty much all of Twitter, because I know I blasted it all over my timeline from the Senior Bowl when you had the Penn State guy. And he tried a spin move on you, and your footwork was perfect. And then you finished it off with a nice power slam. How did you develop that footwork? Like, what's the key to having that aspect correct?
Really, it was just like my first year in Middle Tennessee. You know, I had you know, little injuries and stuff. And one thing my coach, you know, Coach Mallory told me is like, play the game in your head when you're not, you know, able to go out there and be able to participate during contact. And I feel like that's what helped me a lot, was me doing stuff, playing it in my head, me visualizing the man in front of me and doing everything on air. It was like, it just helped me because I was like, now I can focus on what I need to focus on. That was my feet and my hands and stuff like that. So it really just came about just, you know, just focus on just, you know, preparing for that week. And I just kept doing that going on to this year. You know, I just keep playing the game in my head, and I just got better and better at it.
It's really interesting how you guys are able to kind of like match your feet and your hands, you know, where you could extend your hand out and the foot at the same time, you know, obviously opposite foot and hand. But that's something I always was fascinated with and watching you guys in drills and stuff like that. Speaking of drills and just practice overall, Senior Bowl, let's talk about that. I know that was an area where you wanted to go out there and show what you could do and showcase yourself. How do you feel you did this week when you were at the Senior Bowl?
I feel like I did okay. You know, I feel like, you know, I went out there and did, you know, show what I was supposed to go out there and show. You know, I wish I could have participated a little bit more, you know, in the game and everything. But I feel like I went out there, I showed them that I could compete with the best of the best, you know. I can compete with Power Five competition, and that I can play guard and tackle. And just like, you know, I just wanted to show them that I got the ability to play at the highest level. You know, I just need to just keep getting coached up on technique and stuff like that.
What about one-on-ones? How much did you relish that opportunity to just mano with mano?
Man, one-on-ones, I loved it. You know, I love winning. I love losing because when you lose, you get to learn.
Yes.
And, you know, you learn what you can, you know, improve on. And especially going against, you know, these type of guys at this, you know, level of competition, it was like, you know, I'm not the best guy out there anymore. So, you know, even when I lost him, I'm like, okay, I know I got to be more patient. Well, I got to be more aggressive and stay low. So it was like I went out there and I tried to, you know, I just tried to be aggressive and be the same player I was. But it was like, you know, every rep, I just enjoyed the moment.
Yeah, and it was like every rep was huge, you know what I'm saying? So I'm sure that pressure, that's something that you enjoyed and brought out the best of you. What was some of the feedback you got from the personnel folks, especially the team that you were playing for, you know, that coaching staff?
Really, it's just, you know, that, you know, I did good. It's just, you know, you can just tell I haven't been playing football a long time. So I just got to, you know, just keep learning, just keep having an open mind, and just keep, you know, just coming off the ball like I come off the ball, you know, and just keep being aggressive and just keep finishing, you know, don't ever give up, you know, just go out there and just play with this type of effort every play, every snap.
Being as though you're an offensive lineman, as you said, the recognition is not there. The accolades don't come because people just, frankly, they don't relish in a guy getting a pancake as much as they do a guy catching a touchdown. And then you're from MTSU, so obviously there are a lot of things where the common fan is listening to this. They're not going to know what you bring to the table. They're not going to know what you do. They're not going to know why I'm excited to talk to you. So I want to give you an opportunity just to tell these listeners, why is it that you're a guy that the Tennessee Titans have to draft, or if not the Titans, some team in this league?
I feel like, you know, football-wise, I bring, you know, that I'm aggressive, you know, I'm always willing to learn, so I know I got a lot to work on. And I'm always got open ears, so I go out there no matter what. You know, having an open mind, knowing that I'm going to mess up, but no matter what, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try to, you know, beat the man in front of me to the best of my ability. And, you know, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface of my, you know, my ceiling, honestly. But, you know, off the field, I just feel like I'm a friendly giant. I love communicating with people, you know, getting to know people, helping people, you know. I just love doing things for the community, especially, you know, how where I come from. There's not a lot of people who get the opportunity to be in the position I'm in right now. So, you know, off the field, I love to give back. I want to talk to everyone I can and try to help everyone I can so they can see that, you know, it's a bigger picture than what you're experiencing right now and what you're, you know, exposed to.
That's real. That's real. And I'm going to add to that because, you know, I think it's important that people understand that you're an athlete, right? And if someone were to see you just standing there, you know what I mean, shorts and T-shirt, it's not, you're not just some fat guy out there playing line. Like, you're an athlete and you're conditioned, and that's important. And I think that's something that, you know, a lot of the guys going down to the Senior Bowl, they like to go there for the weigh-ins and see you guys in just your shorts. Like, I'm not into all that, but they like to look at the body. You know what I mean? And then at the combine, that's when the scouts and the personnel folks do that. And I know that that's an area, just your build, right, is there. So that's something else that we definitely need to mention. Last thing, did you get to meet with the Titans at all?
Yes, sir.
How did that go?
I feel like it went well. You know, they just wanted to get to know me. You know, they said, like, my game and everything. And, you know, we just talked about, you know, how I came up and everything. And I feel like it went well, just, you know, talking a little bit of football.
Interesting, interesting. Well, you know, they have a fellow guy from your conference, and Nate Davis, right, from Charlotte, University of Charlotte. And he's a guy that plays some guard and tackle, and he's settled in right at right guard. So, hey, I mean, you never know. It could be another guy from that conference ending up in Nashville.
Yeah, yes, sir, most definitely.
Well, Big Rob, man, I appreciate you. Definitely wish you the best. Are you having a pro day at MTSU, or, like, what's next for you?
Yes, sir. My pro day is coming up. It's March 15th.
Okay.
It'll be at MTSU.
Nice, nice. Well, do your thing. Keep showing that athleticism, footwork, and all that, man. And, hey, hopefully you end up here in Nashville and we could do this again, but this time with you as a Titan.
Yes, sir. Man, thank you. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Go Blue Ravens.
There you go.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. Had a little fun right there with this intro. Fight the power, public enemy. Our next guest is someone that has consistently fought the power, and he's a guy who has carved out quite a role there in Notre Dame. Dalen Hayes, DN/outside linebacker. Dalen, what's good with you, man?
What's happening, man? I appreciate you guys having me on the show, man.
Yeah, for sure. And I wanted to kind of get into why I played that music. And I think it's important for young brothers like yourself to do what you are doing, and that's becoming active in the community, especially in this day and age where we need so many more guys like you. So I wanted to shout you out for that and just share with the listeners some of the things that you have going on.
Yes, sir. I mean, you know, really for me, it started last year. I actually had a shoulder injury in my senior year, so I redshirted. But I really had a lot of free time. So, you know, I, like, really just, you know, took that time just to get involved with the local Robinson Center, which is, like, kind of like a Boys and Girls Club after-school program for inner-city South Bend. You know, they do a lot of their work during the time that we have practice. So because I was injured, I had that free time to go get involved. So I was just going during practice. I would go work after-school programs with the kids in South Bend. And then, you know, just because I was a part-time student as a senior, I had early enrolled, so I was ahead of my credits. I started teaching a class at Lincoln Elementary, which is on the south side of South Bend. Just getting involved, teaching kids conflict resolution. Taught a class twice a week, Thursday and Friday. And, you know, that was really just kind of like the beginning. I mean, not the beginning. That's just kind of like the stuff that people acknowledge. I mean, but, you know, this is stuff that I had really been doing my entire time at Notre Dame. I mean, I got two younger brothers, so, you know, it was really important for me to be out there serving kids that, you know what I'm saying, that reminded me of my back home, reminded me of my brother. Since I was away from home, I had to do my part to pay it forward. So, yeah, man, I love serving the community. That's a huge passion of mine. You know, I believe in serving leadership and being involved and getting your hands to the plow and getting to work and being involved in the community around South Bend or wherever you end up. I mean, because for me, it doesn't mean a damn thing to be a Notre Dame football player, but not to be accessible to the kids, the young black and brown kids in the South Bend community, and not be accessible to them. So for me, it was just really, man, just about getting my hands to the plow, man, and getting to work.
Yeah, and that accountability in the community, that's huge, right? And leaving that place better than it was when you got there. And that's what you're striving to do. Not striving, that's what you've done. Because I know for a fact there are young men as you touched. And you know, that is worthy of praise. So I personally appreciate you doing that. And you mentioned why it's important to you. So I have to ask you, because this is something that leaders do, right? That's not something that just someone who is, you know, one of the followers, one who was within the bunch. It's a leader. So what is it about you that molded you into that type of leader and the type of guy to want to do these type of things?
For me, man, it was really just my faith. You know, I believe that, you know, like I say this all the time to people around South Bend, like God, when we're created, man, God gives us gifts. He breathes life into us. He breathes gifts into us. But it's our responsibility to excel those gifts back into the world. So, you know, whatever platform, whatever you're blessed with, man, it's your job to pay it forward. And that started, man, just from my upbringing. I mean, I grew up in the church. You know, faith was extremely important to me. My mom kept us in church. So, you know, really, man, it was just my faith, man. God has blessed me with so much, man. God has blessed a lot of us, man, with a lot, man. Like, and it's our job to give it back in some way, form or fashion. And, you know, like that turned into, you know what I'm saying, inspiration for other guys. And when they wanted to be a part of it, and, you know, that guys just, they just, you know, followed. I mean, you know what I mean? I was naturally, you know, I'm a fifth year. So I was naturally, you know what I'm saying, like the older guy, leader in the locker room already, just having, you know, earned the respect of my guys. But, you know, just being able to kind of lead that charge, really just to kind of bridge that gap, which was something that I felt was, you know, a growing gap at the time, you know, from the time that I got there to the time that I left. I felt like it was kind of growing up until this year, where we really bridged that gap. So now, you know what I'm saying, like young guys, freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors can now continue that, the work that I've, you know, kind of gotten started over these last 4 years and really, like, take it to the next level and, you know, bring Notre Dame back more accessible to, like, that community. Because I felt like there was kind of a divide between Notre Dame and South Bend. So just kind of bridging that gap, really, and making those, our players and our athletes on campus more accessible to the surrounding community. That was really, you know, kind of the forefront of what I was trying to accomplish this year.
That's what I'm talking about. And you were a team captain. You know, that's important to note, too. So you were a leader on the field, in the locker room, off the field. That's a triple crown, if you ask me. But as far as what you do on the field, right, and the versatility, that's what I see from you. You're a guy I see rushing the passer from both sides. I see you standing up, you know, hand in the dirt. I see you playing Sam. You're doing all of those things. That versatility that you present, when is that something that you felt really started to be showcased?
You know, I felt like I've kind of showcased that in my time at Notre Dame, especially this year. Had a lot of opportunities. You know, our coaches really gave me a lot. And, you know, a lot of the times, like, you know, people get caught up in my sack numbers and, like, you know, my stats in that regard. But if they really look at our film, if you really watch film, there's so many different things that I'm asked to do within the scheme of our defense, whether it be inside, overload fronts as a three tech, rushing from the three, find the quarterback, contain pill on the running back, you know, playing outside, like dropping in the coverage, doing a lot. Like, that's a lot of different things if you really watch the film. So, what I lost in, like, true opportunities just to get after the quarterback and just pin my ears back, I gained in a lot of meaningful reps in a lot of big games doing a lot of different things. But, like, you know, when it came down to the Senior Bowl and I was able to go down and just pin my ears back and just be a true pass rusher, I was able to showcase that I can be a dominant pass rusher as well, which I think was, you know, really the question mark kind of coming out of my senior season was, you know, how effective can this guy be rushing the passer?
And
so that was really something I went down with a chip on my shoulder, really just to prove that down in Mobile. And obviously, you know, moving forward.
No doubt. And that's something I want to get into, the Senior Bowl. But before we get to that, it's interesting that you mentioned all of the things that you were asked to do. And I remember I was covering the Eagles. I covered the Eagles for 2 years for USA Today. And I used to always talk to Brandon Graham. And he said that that kind of slowed him down and it took away from his effectiveness as a pass rusher because he had to worry about doing so many other things. I don't want to say it slowed you down, but do you think that that impacted your ability to showcase yourself?
I believe it really impacted me in the sense, like I said, like my numbers and my just true pass rush opportunities. Like, you know, like there's when you have so much on your plate, I mean, our coach is trusting me with that. And I'm a team guy. Like,
yeah.
Whatever my coach is asking me, that's what I'm going to do. And we won a lot of games. We won a lot of games playing the way that we do. But, I mean, if you really look at it, I mean, who's the last double-digit sack guy to come out of Notre Dame? And we've had plenty of edge talents to come through. Julian Aquari, even in Julian's really productive pass rusher, he only had 7 sacks.
Yeah.
You know, and when you really go back and look at the way that our defense is set up, the first 6 weeks we were playing dual threat quarterback. So that changes the way that you rush the passer, you know, in general, you know, as it relates to contain rushing, closing the pocket, a lot of speed to power, because you don't want this guy to get vertical lanes in third down and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And two, with our overload front, a lot of the times we would do overload, but that would leave Ade on the backside, our backside defensive end. That would leave him one-on-one, but we were working stunts on the backside to kind of like, just to kind of occupy that one-on-one. So you know, we get an overload to the field, they're going to go 5-man, leave that left tackle or right tackle one-on-one. With the back help inside. So, you know, it's really just about the way our scheme is set up and a lot of the jobs that I'm asked to do within our scheme. Like I said, like what I lost in production as far as the pass rusher, I gained in a lot of, you know what I'm saying, I gained as far as tools in my arsenal as a player, which only makes, you know, the more versatile you are, the more that you can do at the next level, the better.
Absolutely.
So I'm grateful for those opportunities. But, you know, like I said, man, like it for me, it was really just about proving to people that, like, listen, like, I'm a dominant edge rusher, dude. Like, I really do this first. Like, I'm a pass rusher for real.
I love
like,
it.
And that's really what I wanted. That's really what I wanted to show. But, you know, like, for me, man, it's really just about, like I said, versatility. I mean, if you watch my film, like, you see me doing a lot of different things. And it's something that I take pride in. You know, our coaches trusted me with that. They gave me a lot of roles, a lot of hats to wear within our defense, and I really embraced it.
Yeah, and you showed your pass rush ability, as you mentioned, in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. I remember watching the one-on-ones, and there were times where, you know, you showed that speed, but it was that speed to power. And there was a pass rush, I think it was on the Wednesday practice, where I remember the number. I don't know who the dude was, but it was number 76. You were coming off the your left side, and you just – it was a bull rush. And you know, it was like, hey, look, I'm pushing you back here. You're not going to stop me. And he couldn't. So I think that bull rush is something else that's in your arsenal.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, anytime you get guys that are scared of your speed off the edge, so, you know, that your bull rush, man, really starts with your get off, man. And, like, it's really, like, threatening guys with their speed, making them feel like they have to open up their hips and their shoulders. And once guys start quick setting and trying to, you know what I'm saying, get back on skates, man, you just got to go through them because they're selling out on your speed. So, you know, that was something I felt like in day one. They really felt my speed initially. But, you know, once I started to get that chest, man, it was over.
Yeah, and that's what it showed. And it was funny because I watched you on some reps. Actually, you, Jonathan Cooper, I mean, I normally like to watch the receivers. That's the position I play, you know what I'm saying? So I'm always looking to my left, watching one-on-ones, receivers, DBs. But you and Cooper, like a lot of you guys were keeping me on that side watching you know, that one-on-one, and there were a few times you were going against tight ends, and it just seemed like you were kind of pissed off having to go against them just because that they put them out there against you. Is that the case?
So what happened was my first 2 days I played defensive end, and then I played open end, and then day three I played Sam linebacker. So when I went down to Sam day three, you know, they do pass rush and run blocking versus the tight ends, and they go down and cover them one-on-one.
Yeah.
Dude, there's not a tight end in the country that's not blocking. I'm sorry. Like, that's rule number one about being a defensive end. You don't let a damn tight end.
Right.
That's just law. That's in the code.
Yeah, yeah. So
we went down and I was playing Sam, and we started pass rush run. We did like run pass rush, supposed to simulate like a run versus a play action pass. And you have to convert out on the tight end. I'm just like, dude, this is this is about to get ugly for these guys. So, you know, I played, like I said, man, I was already down there with a chip, but anytime you put a tight end in front of me, man, that's disrespect. So they had the feeling.
And to your credit, you held your own dropping into coverage against them too. So where it was, quote unquote, their advantage, you held your own there. So I think we have to mention that. You clearly had the dog in you. And we're talking to Dalen Hayes, Notre Dame edge defender. You had that dog in you, right? And I just have to ask because, you know, as a dog, like as a pass rusher, you can't just pin your ears back and do it. You have to have some type of plan. So how do you put together your pass rushing plan? And what do you do when it has to change mid-snap, if you follow me?
For me, like, everything for me starts with speed, starts with my get-off, man. If I can really just get a good time, get a good feel for the timing of the snap and get a great get-off, man, that's going to open up a lot of different things for me. So, like, throughout the week, like I said, man, first day it was about speed. They felt my speed, dipping underneath guys, quick hand swipes, et cetera. So day two, when I really wanted to focus on my power, you know, when those guys start opening their chest, like I said, you know, stabbing them out, going speed to powers, whatnot. And then when you level off, man, my spin, my spin is like one of my best counters. So when I feel like I'm getting to the level of quarterback, or if I'm working the power and it's not really working, being able to spin off and level out to the quarterback is really just kind of like my go-to. It's just kind of making sure my get off is great, making them feel my speed early. And then getting them to set their feet. Like, once they get to set and opening up their shoulders and hips, man, it's a wrap. So, you know, man, that's really it for me. Like, I mean, you know, for me, it's just like I said, man, it's just all about get off and then working your counters out for that. Like, you know, it's just really a feel. It's just really a feel as you go throughout the game. Like, even in the Senior Bowl, like, they felt my speed a couple times, went to power, got good power, but wasn't getting home, so came back to my swipe. And was able to get home on that before the end of the second quarter. So
you're very well versed and confident and clear talking about your plan and talking about the moves. So obviously you've done research. Who were some guys that you've watched along the lines? You say, hey, man, I like that about him. I like this about that guy, and so on and so forth.
Man, I love watching Bud Dupree.
Ooh.
Bud Dupree and Shaquille Barrett.
Okay,
those are two of my favorite pass rushers to watch. I mean, just feel like body-wise, like overall type of game, I feel like it's very similar. You know, like, I mean, of course you love to watch Khalil Mack. You love to watch, you know, Vaughn, et cetera, like all the great pass rushers. But, like, just really honing in the guys that I feel like I really, like, emulate and can model my game after. I feel like those two specifically are my favorite to watch.
What is it that you see that's similar between yourself and Dupree?
I feel like, honestly, just the way that we're built. Like, you know, built big, big lower body. You know, like, he's a stand-up guy. He's a stand-up outside backer for Pittsburgh. Like, just that whole type of game. He works a lot with Coach Brandon Jordan, Coach B.J. Jordan.
And I was going to go there. Yeah.
Yeah. So we watched a lot of film, and that's kind of where I really had not really watched a ton of them, like, up until the end of my senior year. And then I really started to watch him a lot. Well, when I started training with Coach Jordan, I was like, wow, that's actually very similar. Like, that's kind of like very similar to my game. So just kind of like, you know, just watching them over time and just feeling like, you know, similar build, similar traits, speed off the edge, his moves. I feel like it's really, you know, like, why I feel like he's a guy that I can emulate my game after.
No doubt. And we're talking to Dalen Hayes, Notre Dame edge defender. Dalen, question for you. You mentioned Brandon Jordan. I wanted to go there and talk about Coach Jordan. The environment, right? That pass rush culture. You're there, what, Rashad Weaver? I mean, so many guys. Like, we could run off a bunch of names. What are you getting? Like, how is that pass rush culture, how is that helping you and push you as a player?
It's great, man. I mean, with Coach Jordan, man, Coach Jordan is so meticulous in everything, bro. He breaks it down from literally your step, like your very first step and your get off, uh-huh. to your step when you're stepping around and clearing the edge of who you're trying to get around, the offensive tackle. Like, I mean, he's very meticulous and detailed as far as like each point and component of the move that you're trying to work and that you're trying to perfect. Like, man, he breaks it down and like, man, he just sees it, bro. Like, it's so crazy. Like, we're going through a drill. Like, he kind of has, like, it's the drill is kind of set up in three, right? So you'll kind of start on bags. Like, you'll work through the bag, right, dude, get your footwork together, work your move, and then obviously the finish. And it's so crazy, like, how I go through the whole drill, and he'll talk about something at the very beginning or something, like, you know what I'm saying, very small, small details that'll make all the difference. You feel me? Like, when it's really, like, when you're talking about, like, working your technique and really crafting it, like, he really breaks it down to the smallest T, man, and really makes sure that you're detailing your work. So, man, it's crazy, man. I got some great work in him getting preparation down for the Senior Bowl, and, man, it paid huge dividends. So, super appreciative, man. And look forward to continuing to work with a man in craft.
Yeah, that's dope. And watching some of his videos, man, like the way he sets those cones up to get you guys to work on that Euro step, and it's definitely really detailed. You met with a lot of teams. I mean, you're down there in Mobile at that time, and obviously pretty much all the teams were there. The Titans. This is a Titans show, so I have to ask you your conversation with the Titans. How did that go? Are you familiar with their scheme and just how you would match up with it?
So we had a great conversation, man. I mean, you have a 15-minute segment.
Right, speed dating.
Like, yeah, speed. That basically like speed dating. And I remember when I got back, my agent asked me how did any stick out? And my first one that I said was the Titans. Mm. You know, just kind of like our talk. They were asking me a bunch of questions, but there was a guy sitting off to the left of me who was just staring at me. I'm looking, I'm like, man, what's up? Like, why are you staring at me like that? He was like, yeah. He's like, you just seem like a bright guy. He's like, you know, you seem like you think about what you're about to say. You well thought out answers, blah blah blah. Then they started asking about me as a pass rusher. They were like, you know, they want guys that are going to compress the pocket and whatnot, and et cetera, bro. So like, we had a real great conversation, man. We was laughing, having a good time. That was one of those interviews that you just wish you had a little bit more time just to keep chopping it up with the coaches. But as far as the scheme goes, man, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you, man. I have no idea,
right?
Like exactly the scheme, but you know, I'm assuming, man. Like at the end of the day, you got to have some pass rushers on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, I can respect that. You know, your honesty. They're 3-4 multiple front. You know, they do different things as far as rushing the passer, stunts and things like that. They need a guy like you, you know what I mean, that could be kind of like that looper, you know, over top of the guy who's crashing, if you follow me on those TE stunts and things like that. So you're clearly well-versed, you know, watching you at Notre Dame, you've done that before. So I definitely think you would be a match. That's why I was curious how that conversation went. And like I said, they need guys like yourself.
Yes, I mean, I'm sure we'll get more into that in the formal interviews when you get more time, the 25, 30-minute plus when you're talking with the position coach. With the speed dating, it was more so just kind of getting a baseline for who you are as a person, who you are, like, you know what I'm saying, off the field and whatnot. Just kind of getting a feel for how you felt like you were doing throughout the week. You know, that was really – it was just kind of to get a baseline, understand, getting familiar between, you know what I'm saying, the player and the organization. So I didn't get too much into football. And I'm sure that'll come later, you know, with the formal meeting,
right?
With the formal meetings, and you have a little bit more time to really dive into that stuff. So look forward to that opportunity.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Dalen Hayes, Notre Dame edge defender. Dalen, I appreciate you, man. I want to keep in touch with you because I think, you know, there's a good shot that you end up here. I don't know what day it'll be, day one, day two. I can't see it going past day two, but, you know, I wish you the best through the rest of this process.
Man, I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you guys having me on the show, man. And hopefully, who knows, man, might be down there in Nashville with you guys not too long from now. So, yeah, man, definitely keep in touch, man. Absolutely. Yeah,
for sure. I'll take you to get some hot chicken, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byer, and I'm talking with TD. Do it like them dirty South
boys doing. Now where you from? Who the fuck? All right, here we go. Here we go. Got that Nashville flavor to this one, man. We had Chicago in the earlier segment. Now we got Nashville. You know why? Because we were brought in by the mayor of Murfreesboro, right? And Kevin Byard. And now I don't know what to call our next guest, but he's a Nashville flavor, right? Coming out of Murfreesboro, Ensworth, and then Oakland High School. Yeah, that's right. Jacoby Stevens, LSU. Jacoby, what's good, man?
How you doing? Thank you for having me.
Hey, for sure, man. I appreciate you coming on. I hope you could appreciate the intro. You know, it might be a little before your time, but do you know something about Young Buck?
Yeah, I know a little about Young Buck, man. Being from Nashville,
okay.
You know, all you hear
the old heads playing get booked. So
yeah. So you feel me right there. Well, first thing that I think is really interesting, right? You have a birthday that is of a lot of significance, man. June 19th. You're a Juneteenth baby.
I'm a July 19th. I think they had on the internet kind of wrong. They're a month a little early.
Oh, so you're a July guy. Okay, well, I'm July 5th. So, you know what I'm saying? There's still a connection. You know what I mean? So we'll just call that audible. So tell me a little bit about coming up in the Nashville area. I know you went to Endsworth and then Oakland. What was it like just playing ball in this area?
Oh, man. I think, you know, playing ball in the Nashville area, Middle Tennessee area, is a very underrated place to play football. I mean, you know, we're starting to nationally get recognized, but, man, there's just so much talent in Tennessee, especially in that Middle Tennessee area. I mean, when we were at the Senior Bowl, me, Trey Smith, and Amari Rogers, we were kind of talking, and we were just talking about what if that entire 2017 class went to UTK. You know, that class that came out that year, my class was me. You had Malik Gray, Amari Rogers, Trey Smith, T. Higgins. I mean, you just had, you know, and the Jacob Phillips. I mean, the list just goes on and on about the so much talent that's coming out in the state of Tennessee. I mean, you know, you want to go, you know, years prior that, you know, you have the likes of, you know, Jalen Ramsey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Akilah Newer that went to Brentwood Academy. There's so many guys.
Derek Barnett.
I mean, I mean, we can keep talking about so many guys that went that's from the Tennessee area, and you know, and the more and more guys get to go to college and you know, show out and you know, rep 615, you know, the more and more attention the Tennessee is going to get. But as of right now, we're a very underrated place to play, high school football right now.
No doubt about it. And see, I got here in 2018, right? And I came here from Philly. So that's why I made sure I mentioned Derek Barnett. But I didn't realize the talent that was here. You know what I mean? And you were one of the guys, I remember my other producer when I first got here, he always raved about you. So you kind of set this up perfectly when you mentioned all the talent there, well, actually here in Tennessee, because you were Tennessee's Mr. Football. So, that, I mean, that's a pretty significant accomplishment.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. You know, coming up, you know, especially my freshman year, my eighth grade freshman year, I was at Endsworth, and, you know, I saw Corn Elder, you know, he played running back. Mm-hmm. So now he's a defensive back for the Panthers.
Yeah,
you know, seeing him win Mr. Football twice, you know, that was always on my goal. One of my goals was to win Mr. Football, regardless of what division I was in. So it happens, you know, I transferred to Oakland and I transferred to a 6A school, one of basically the highest division to play football in Tennessee, and I ended up winning Mr. Football my senior year.
That's what's up, man. I have to ask you, because you excelled on both sides of the ball. I would imagine, looking back on that, there were more offers for safety or DB. What made you choose defense? Was it because of more offers kind of directed you that way?
No, I mean, really, you know, I had, you know, I'll say that it was split. I mean, there are some schools that say they let me do both.
Okay.
You know, the reason why you know, I chose safety. I mean, really and truly at the time was because that's what LSU needed me to do. Mm. I mean, they wanted me to come in as a safety, but shoot, when I got there after spring football, they wanted me to play a receiver. And, you know, then, you know, I just, you know, did the roller coaster thing, and I ended up getting back on defense and was able to settle in and make plays and make a name for myself. But in regards of, you know, what schools offered me for, I mean, I say that it was split. I mean, at one point, before I became the number one safety in the nation in my class, I was the number one athlete playing both sides of the ball.
Low-key brag right there, but I like it. I like it. What made you choose LSU?
Man, LSU is was a dream school. LSU is my dream school. I mean, my parents are from Louisiana, so going back to visit family in Louisiana, you would stop by LSU's campus, and LSU just grew into my favorite school.
I thought it was really interesting how they used you during your time at LSU. I mean, safety, pseudo linebacker, you know, you're playing down in the box. You're getting a chance to rush the passer. I think they really showcased your your versatility. What was it like playing for Coach Aranda, and how do you think he really did a good job of just, like, putting you out there? This is what number seven, then number three, this is what he could do.
Yeah, I think, you know, playing under Coach Aranda, I mean, he always puts his players in good positions to make plays.
Mm-hmm.
And he never puts too much on a player's plate. And the thing is with Coach Randy, he trusted me with all that information. He trusted me with those different skills and different positions to go out there and perform. And I think that just speaks to my versatility and speaks to me being a student of the game. And at the end of the day, Coach Randy trusted me with all those responsibilities. I mean, like you said yourself, I mean, I went from playing, you know, in the same game, you can see me playing the middle of the field, post safety, to literally playing DN, edge, rushing off the edge.
Yeah.
Coach Aranda really did a great job of, you know, breaking down, helped me break down film. Coach, my position coach, Coach Bush, helped me break down film and really kind of break the game down in phases, which helped me play the game within the game.
And we're talking. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Oh no, it's fine.
Hey, they're listening because they want to hear you speak. So go ahead and finish, man.
I was saying that they did a great job of breaking down the week for me and making the game into a game. So, like, you know, we did first and second down install for me, and then you go to third down install for me, and then, you know, sometimes I play a different position on short yardage, goal line. So making sure that I have my notepad and pen and writing those things down, so when it comes to game time, when I am playing a different position, I can make it look like I did in 2019 and a little bit in 2020.
And we're talking to Jacoby Stevens. It's funny. I always want to call you Jacoby Simmons because my freshman year of college, I played receiver. My freshman year of college, our running back, his name was Jacoby Simmons. And so my brain just keeps saying, call you Jacoby Simmons. Yeah, I was saying, so I caught myself right there. That's what the hesitation was for. But back to you, 2019, 85 tackles, 8.5 TFLs, 5 sacks, 3 INTs, 9 passes defended. I mean, you filled the stat sheet. Everything that was asked, you did. What made you come back for another year at LSU?
Yeah, I just, talking with some of the people at LSU, you know, I just wasn't done with LSU. I felt like that I could improve, and, you know, I wasn't done with being an experienced being an LSU Tiger. Like I said, mentioned again, LSU was my dream school. So, mm-hmm. you know, I wanted to cherish every moment that I had there. You know, and coming back, we didn't have the season. Team-wise, you know, that you wish for and that you were writing the record books. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I think a lot of the young guys grew. I mean, I grew as a player and I grew as a person on and off the field. So, although we ended up being 500, I think it was a great learning experience.
Let's go back to that 2019 year. And obviously the defense was stacked. We'll get into the secondary, especially in a second. But in practice, I mean, you're seeing Ja'Marr Chase, you're seeing Justin Jefferson, you're seeing Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You got Joe Burrow pulling the trigger. I mean, there's a lot. What was practice like? Man, I would actually pay money just to see those alone.
Oh, man. I was just talking about it last night. I mean, practice has made games so easy.
Huh.
I mean, and practice always bung the best. For me, it always bung the best out of me because I know when competing with Ja'Marr, you know, me and Ja'Marr will go back and forth and talking trash. And, you know, it would just bring the best out of one another.
Yeah.
You get the blood pumping. You know, you got the intensity going in practice, and you have the talent there. That's the difference. I mean, you can make practice as hard as you want, but if you don't have talent to simulate what you're going to see on Saturdays or Sundays and, I mean, high school Fridays, you know, it's not going to do you any good. So, you know, we had the talent on both sides. So when it came to Saturday, you know, sometimes the games talent-wise and how Coach O made practice in the intensity, you know, it was easier than it was on our, you know, regular week practice.
What's your funniest Coach O story, man? I just got to hear, you know, just hearing them, you know, hey, guys, I'm trying to practice. Like, that alone makes me laugh. I know you got something.
I know, one of my favorite Coach O stories was when we were in practice, and
Hopefully it was a scrimmage, but I want to say it was a scrimmage, and Coach O usually stands behind the offense. And, you know, I came off a blitz, and I basically just took the running back, and I just pushed this, basically just catapulted him back into Coach O's leg. And he gets up, and he walks up to me and he said, son, I said, he asked me, you know, are you trying to take me out? And I said, no, sir. And, you know, he's, you know, and I mean, you know, sometimes he kind of walks with a limp right now, but I just think that's funny because from time to time, you know, he still messes with me about, you know, trying to, you know, according to him, taking him out. But at the end of the day, I was playing football. But I just think it's funny how he still messes with me about that.
That's hilarious, man. I kept laughing as you were saying it because I was pitched, like, I don't know Coach O. You know what I mean? I never interacted with him. But his voice, man, that's the thing that just kills me, man. It's hilarious.
Right. Well, what was funny was that he messed with me about almost taking him out, but at the same time, and in the same breath, he turns around and fusses at the running back for losing that rep. So that's what really made it funny. But at the end of the day, you know, Coach O is going to do a great job at LSU for years to come.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And one of the things that will help is and that has helped is the quality of DBs that you guys have consistently produced. Christian Fulton, he's here in Nashville. He's a Titan. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about K-Baby. You know, what some of your experiences with him.
Oh, man. You know, I call K-Baby the silent assassin, man. He's quiet, but, man, he's a workaholic. He's a dog, and he's going to get after it. You know, in terms of footwork and DB defensive back footwork, I mean, I've never seen anybody's feet as, you know, feet better than his. I mean, you know, how he comes out of a break and how quick he gets into it and out of his break and flipping his hips and stuff like that. I've never seen anybody better at my time at LSU when it came to that.
Interesting.
You know, I'm happy, you know, for him from where he came and, you know, the things that he was able to do at LSU, and now he's playing for the Titans. So he's playing for the home team.
Hey, maybe you could follow his path, LSU to back to Nashville. You know, that'd be dope. What is it like? Tell me, in your opinion, why is LSU, why is that DBU?
I mean, at the end of the day, it just comes down to, you know, the coaches there. You know, you have Coach Raymond there, and, you know, he's been there for a while, and you know, he just knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he knows who he wants in recruiting, and he goes out and gets them. And at the end of the day, when he does get them, he knows how to teach us. And when he teaches us, it translates onto the field. And, you know, all the DBs that he's taught, I mean, you know, you can go down the list as all of them in the NFL, and, you know, there's a reason why every year there's a LSU DB in the Pro Bowl. There's an LSU DB that makes all pro. I mean, there's a reason why LSU is DBU.
No doubt about it. And earlier you mentioned all of the things that you could do, and I like to use the term the value of versatility. I think that's what you bring. I remember someone on Twitter asked me about, you know, who is a guy coming out that's one of those match players that, you know, you could just have as a chess piece, and your name came to my mind immediately, and here's why. You remind me of one of my favorite, actually my favorite LSU DB ever, and his name is Eric Reed. And look at what he did when he got to the league. I was actually in San Francisco. I was covering the 49ers when he was a rookie, and I remember talking to him, and his intelligence always came up, but the biggest thing was the versatility. This guy would take on offensive linemen like I've seen you do. The guy will play single high if necessary. He was in the box. He did everything as, and I think that's whose game that you remind me of. Is that a comparison as you've heard before?
Matter of fact, that's when Coach C-Ray, he came and watched me do like a little workout in high school. You know, that's a comparison. That's what he told me who I looked like my senior year. But like right after I finished the year, he seen me kind of come do a little workout, and that's what he. And that's who he compared me to. So it's funny that it kind of came all around when you said that. But and that's one of my favorite safety at LSU of all time. So, you know, being compared to Eric Reed is a big deal to me. And, you know, especially, you know, you saying it and when C-Ray said it, you know, it was pretty cool. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the truth. I mean, you know, we have a lot of guys, you know, in this draft that, you know, trying to, you know, at the end of the day, I know what they're trying to do, you know, but they try to claim to be versatile. But when you look at the film,
right,
you know, they're in the same area. You know what I'm saying? They're in the same area and they're doing the same thing. you know. But when you look at, you know, and there are a couple of other guys, but not as much as, you know, I do, where, like you said, at the end of the, you know, in the same game, you can see me playing the post, half, a man-to-man on a tight end. You can see me playing in the inside linebacker, outside linebacker on the edge. And, if I was a betting man, I guarantee you there wouldn't be a lot of people in this draft that's done that.
But what allows you to do that so well? That's what I'm curious about.
Oh, I think a lot of it has to do with my intelligence, me being a student of the game.
Okay.
I think a lot of it has to also do with my ability that God's given me.
Yes.
A lot of people aren't, you know, given those type of abilities, but God's blessed me with them, and you know, I've taken them and I've worked at them and sharpened them and was able to, just use them to my best of my abilities.
No doubt.
And so I think, you know, with that added, with just at the end of the day, being a student of the game and learning and being willing to learn, I mean, and being willing to be put into different positions, I think that's why I was able to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, a couple plays come. I remember the Mississippi State game, the one-handed interception. You know, mm-hmm. I guess you were trying to represent the number three like Odell did. I don't know what it was, but that was a tight one. And then even you look at some of the other games, the Arkansas one. You know, you were coming off the edge a lot in that game, and I remember one of the times you came off the edge and you jumped up and you tipped the pass. That the quarterback, that was 19, I believe, 2019. You tipped mm-hmm. the pass the quarterback was making. And then you transfer that to the Senior Bowl. And I'm going to get him on, and I got to ask him about this play. What happened? The Mac Jones interception. Like, talk to me, man. Because that was something that was kind of – it was very unique. You know, he was rolling to his right. He went to throw the ball. I guess he didn't realize that you were – you know, you had the bunnies to go up and get it. I didn't think you were going to get it either, but you did. And it was just the same as that Arkansas play, but you picked it off. What was going on there?
To be honest with you, I mean, when I jumped up and got it, when I go look back at some of the videos, I didn't think I jumped that high. You know, apparently to people there, you know, they was impressed with how high I jumped. But, you know, I mean, you know, you go back to my, you know, you go ask my high school coach Creasy at Oakland. You know, I mean, it's something I've been doing since high school. I mean, okay. I've been making those interceptions just about, you know, at every level that I've played at. But at the end of the, you know, like I said, it's just God-given ability, man.
No doubt. What was your favorite thing about the Senior Bowl? You know, I always like to go down there and see you guys interact. You know, it's different because a lot of you guys have never really been around each other, but it just seems like there's a nice vibe, a nice energy. You play hard, you compete hard. Afterwards, it's chill. What was your favorite thing?
My favorite thing was just chilling with the guys. Just being able to meet guys that you know that you hear over Twitter or that you hear, you know, over the TV, and now you get to see these guys and you get to play with them. You know, you get to play with them, you get to compete against them, and I think that was the most fun part for me.
No doubt. How did your meetings go? We talked all this about versatility. Well, what did the personnel folks tell you?
Oh man, they told me, you know, they basically asked me, well, do I see myself playing in the NFL? And you know, my thing, you know, my answer back to them were whatever you need me to play. Mm. Same thing like at LSU. You know, for me, it doesn't matter where you put me at the end of the day. I pride myself on finding ways to make plays. That's what I did at LSU. And there were some situations to where I was put in a situation because somebody else wanted to play there, so I just found a way to make plays. At the end of the day, you know, if that's something that, you know, I have to play linebacker in the NFL, I'm gonna do that. If they want me to play safety in the NFL, that's something that, you know, that I can do and I feel comfortable doing. So, yeah.
You mentioned the home team earlier, right? In reference to the Titans, so I have to ask you, did you get to meet with them? I would imagine you did. So let me change the question to how did that go?
I think it went well. You know, I think it was pretty cool, you know, talking with the Titans. I mean, you know, in high school, you know, you see the other side of, you know, their community outreach. You see, their high school, you know, how they reach out to high schools around the city. So being able to see them, you know, on the business side of, in terms of scouting was pretty cool. You know, it was fun because I knew stuff about their organization and they already knew stuff about me, you know, dating back to high school. So just having conversations with them and them kind of telling me what they thought and, I thought it was a pretty cool experience.
That's what's up. Before I get you out of here, where are you training?
I'm training in Covington, Louisiana at Limitless Performance.
Okay.
Somebody that I'm close with. That's somebody that he already knew my body before. He knew my body before a combine training. So he's really good at what he does. So I'm out here training and getting ready for this pro day.
Are you training by yourself, or are you on that Rocky training regimen, solo, or are you with a bunch of other prospects?
Oh man, no, I'm on the Rocky regiment, man. I'm by myself. You know, I'm getting 110% of his attention.
Yeah,
we're paying attention to the little details, because at the end of the day, the little details are what separates you apart. I'm not going to a training factory.
There you go. So you out there training like Rocky in Rocky IV, man, solo. You got to stand on the mountain and yell, Drago. That's before your time, man. It's Rocky IV. You get some time, check that movie out, man. It's a dope one.
Trust me, you and your dad watched that multiple times.
That's what's up. Well, Jacoby, man, I appreciate it, man. This was a lot of fun. I definitely look forward to keeping in contact with you. Let's see how everything works, man. Hopefully you end up here. If not, you know, wherever you end up, I know it'll be a dream come true, and you'll make it work.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
For sure. So that was Jacoby Stevens out of LSU. Man, it was fun talking to him. I had a good time, Elijah, honestly, talking to all these guys, man. Dalen Hayes, the message he brought and just what he had to say about the Titans, the meeting, I thought that was cool. Robert Jones, right? Big Rob.
Big Rob.
You know what I'm saying? Talking about his athleticism and you know, shifting from basketball to football. So this was an awesome show. Definitely was excited to bring a local flavor. And we're going to keep the local flavor going for next week, right? Josh Palmer out of Tennessee. We'll have him. And I think we might look at some guys that run the football too. So we'll go that direction. In the meantime, I appreciate each of you for tuning in. Shout out to Chris Sanders for coming on. Shout out to you, Elijah, for making all this happen. And shout out to each of you for tuning in and listening. You know what to do. Rate, review, subscribe in the opposite order. Subscribe, rate, review. I appreciate you. God bless. Good night.